And with that, we bring in the one and only Seth Grossman, who's got plenty, I'm sure, to talk about here on Talk With a Purpose. Seth, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Of course, this ties into Trevor Loudon of New Zealand, who will be our speaker at our fundraising event 1 week from today. And if you've never had a chance, and even though we're charging $75 for a ticket, this Trevor Loudon is really worth hearing because he explains the problem that you have. And the problem is that none of this stuff that the Democrats or the left or the communist or the socialist or the wokest, whatever name you want to call them, it appears they don't make sense because they say they want inclusion, but then they exclude people. They say they want unity, but they divide people. But the point is there's one thing they want. They want power and they want control over this country. And they will do or say whatever it takes to make Americans angry, divided, broke, discouraged, because that's what they do. You see, we Americans, we're so naive. We're so used to thinking, well, if someone is saying, you know, my people were oppressed 100 years ago, so I need respect, or I need this, or I need that. We want to say, okay, we'll meet you halfway. We want to work with you. We can't imagine the idea that someone is just making these things up just to make us lose faith and confidence in ourselves so they could destroy the country so they could then take over. And this is what Trevor Loudon explains. I mean, this is something that since Vladimir Lenin in 1919 perfected these techniques, they have schools to teach people how to just make up stuff to confuse your enemy. So that's what we're dealing with. So we're having a war for the country, and we also have it this total ignorance of American history. For example, most people think the civil rights movement began in the 1960s, but America had three civil rights movements, and that's where that what was called the Negro National Anthem came from. The first civil rights movement was right after the Civil War, when we amended our Constitution to end slavery and give blacks equal rights. And then we had a president, of course, President Lincoln, who was about to do that, was murdered by Democrats. And we had a racist Democrat president after Lincoln was killed. And then a Republican president, Ulysses Grant, enforced the rights of blacks in the South until he was knocked out of office after two terms. And then you have what was called the Great Migrations, where blacks left the South, found equal rights in the North, and they succeeded. And that's where the Negro National Anthem came from. When in Atlantic City, in Philadelphia, in the Harlem Renaissance, where blacks and whites had equal opportunity, and where black Americans succeeded the same as immigrants from Ireland and Italy and Jewish immigrants. And then what happened is the Democrats came up with this racist movie called Birth of a Nation, which they don't even teach about in college anymore, which just had every racist stereotype against blacks. So then we had a second civil rights movement in the 1920s, led by people like Kate Smith, led by the Republicans, Calvin Coolidge, Warren Harding. So this is the background we had. And then, of course, we had the racist Democrats, Woodrow Wilson, Franklin Roosevelt. They don't want to teach that stuff. So this is the ignorance of history making this possible. But the real thing is that blacks had made enormous progress right up into the 1960s. And if we had honest black history, we would be having a national discussion. Were black Americans, black communities better off before 1963 when all this racist black power diversity stuff started? Or are black communities better off now? We can't even have that discussion. And by the way, speaking of history, one of the, a trick question I would ask my students when I was still allowed to teach history at Atlanta Community College was on what day was George Washington born? And in teaching for 6 years, not one of my students knew the answer. Of course, our generation knows that George Washington was born on February 22nd because we had a national holiday to remember him. But right now we have something called President's Day coming up on Monday. And why is that a holiday, by the way? What is the meaning of President's Day? Other than to give people who work for the government and woke corporations a paid holiday, a paid day off. Because right now we have Black History Month completely obliterates the study and recognition of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Because if we had real history, we would be asking questions. Why is America, or at least was America, a prosperous and safe country? And why was Haiti a miserable country with poverty and violence and corruption? How come you have hundreds of thousands of black people living in Haiti will do anything to come to move to America, but you do not have any black Americans that want to move to Haiti? Haiti is a 98% black American country. They don't have diversity there. What's the difference? And if you study the difference, you'll see in black history, black students are taught, oh, the hero of the black independent country of Haiti was Jean-Jacques Dessalines, Henri Christophe, Alexandre Pétion. They don't know about George Washington. But if you knew the history of Haiti, you would know that these heroes of Haiti actually won a war of independence against France, the same as George Washington led a war of independence in North America against England. But what was the difference? Well, when Dessalines and Christophe and Pétion, when they won the revolution, the first thing they did was they killed everybody who was white, everybody who was of mixed race, everybody who was not with them. They just murdered them. They murdered 40, 50, 60,000 people. Whereas in America, the American tradition of George Washington, he treated the captured German Hessians with kindness. Abraham Lincoln, after the Civil War, said, with malice towards none, with charity of all, for all. So we had this, our leaders, Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, built this America of trust and tolerance in giving people a second chance, whereas the black leaders of Haiti did not do that. The other thing about the black leaders of Haiti, after they won their war for independence, the three of them declared, instead of stepping down when the war was over like George Washington did, they declared themselves emperor for life or king for life, president for life. Guess what? They didn't live very long. But George Washington, probably his greatest achievement was stepping down from power after the war was over. So why can't black students learn real history and say, let's compare what happened in Haiti? Let's learn about, you know, those leaders, but let's also learn about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. Let's analyze what both did right, what both did wrong. Oh, and by the way, one of the leaders of Haiti called Henri Christophe, a black leader of Haiti, brought back slavery because he needed the money from the sugar plantations. But they don't teach that in black history. They only teach everything that black leaders did was good, everything that white leaders did was bad, and they teach a distorted history of both countries. And I think that's why if people don't learn from the past, then, you know, you just live in ignorance and you repeat the same mistakes. And just a quick thing about George Washington, which I don't even think any of our children know today, that his father died when he was 11. George Washington had to drop out of school to work the fields of his farm to feed his mom and his younger brothers and sisters, that he wanted to become wealthy. So he read books. He taught himself the skills he needed to be rich, including learning how to dance, how to dress, how to conduct social conversation, to mingle with the wealthier people and be accepted in society. George Washington's dream was to be a general in the British Army, but he was rejected because he was, quote, a mere colonial. There was discrimination. He didn't have political and social contacts in London. And so he had to work and make his farm a success because he couldn't have the career he wanted. He kept the Continental Army together without food, money, or supplies for 8 years. And again, his greatest achievement was when he won the war, he went home, as opposed to making himself a dictator like a Napoleon or most people did. So we made a national holiday for George Washington, not because he was a great American, but because there would not have been an America if there had not been a George Washington. But now, starting in 1968, we abolished the George Washington holiday in America. We have President's Day that takes place, I think it's the third or fourth Monday of the month of February, and they actually designed a holiday so it can't possibly fall on Washington's birthday. So I think that's something worth mentioning.
What else is going on as far as liberty and prosperity? I know the big thing is, and by the way, I forgot to do it last week, but we're going to do it today. We're giving away two tickets, a pair of tickets to your brunch, dinner, lunch, whatever you call it, with Trevor Loudon next week. So we're going to be doing that later on today. But what else is going on at Liberty and Prosperity?
Well, we'll be talking about, once again, the tragedy at Michigan State University. Last Monday, eight students were shot, three killed, five critically wounded. And yet, if you read any of the stories, it will not tell you the race of the murderer, the race of the shooter, or the race of the victims. And one of the three who was killed was black, two were white. We don't know the race of the five who are critically injured, and they'll probably never have normal lives again. That's how seriously they're killed. But once again, the shooter is an angry black male with a chip on the shoulder. And you see all these murders that take place that they call workplace incidents or senseless violence or mental illness. But we are not allowed to know how many of these murders are driven by racial resentment, hatred, by what's being taught in black history courses, by the black media, by the black rap culture. But when it's the other way around, in the very, very, very rare cases, when the murderer is white and the victims are black, like what you had in, I guess, Buffalo, New York, the face of the white killer is in every story. The race is mentioned in every headline. So that gives a distorted picture that the problem is violence by white racism, and nobody even talks about the black racism because it's not even mentioned. Race is never mentioned. I think that's going to be a topic today. Oh, I'm sure Governor DeSantis' book banning will be discussed. Governor DeSantis in Florida said that certain of this really hateful and racist books should not be in Florida elementary schools. And the same thing with this, promoting this that LGBTQ agenda. So it was just a handful of books, but the teachers union in Florida made a whole big deal by showing all these empty bookshelves. And what, again, we keep forgetting is they already emptied out the bookshelves. You go into any public school and see where you could find a biography of Thomas Edison, who invented the light bulb, Andrew Carnegie, who built libraries and made it possible to have steel for skyscrapers, John D. Rockefeller, who made it possible for poor people to heat their homes in the winter and light their homes at night. Where will you find poems by Edgar Allan Poe, Washington Irving, Tales of Sleepy Hollow, Last of the Mohicans? The leftists don't tell you they already cleared out our libraries for the last 30 or 40 years. And just because we're questioning some of the woke stuff that they put instead, they're making it sound like conservatives are the book burners, when it's really the radical left has been burning books for the past 30, 40 years. Where else with liberty and prosperity? Well, of course, Atlantic City casinos are making record profits, and Governor Murphy made a statement saying he wants the casinos to pay a fair share of their real estate taxes. But yet, You know, it was Governor Murphy who a year ago passed a law that cut the taxes of the casinos by about $30 to $40 million a year, and in complete violation of our state constitution. And when you know, I, on behalf of Liberty and Prosperity, filed a lawsuit and won that lawsuit last August, it was Governor Murphy who ordered that the casinos would not have to pay the money. He's appealing the case. So if Governor Murphy really wants the casinos to pay their fair share, all he has to do is drop the appeal.
Well,
if anyone wants to,
he's in Ukraine now. So what's he doing in Ukraine?
I guess he made the statement and ran. Yeah. But if anyone wants to go to our libertyandprosperity.com website, we posted the whole brief as to you know, why this law is blatantly unconstitutional. And we also tell the history as the big lie of Governor Christie that created this mess in Atlantic City in the first place. And it's very simple, that when you had that economic housing bubble collapse or the prime mortgage collapse in 2008, and when you had your first casinos in Philadelphia, it cut Atlantic City business in half, casino and not casino. But yet Atlantic City continued to increase spending, and it did this for 7 years while it was under control of state government, under Christie. But Christie was running for president at the time, and he didn't want to have the controversy of cutting spending or fighting with the unions, so he just spent all the money that the Atlantic City unions wanted, put Atlantic City $400 million in debt, and then when he wasn't running for president anymore, he came up with this whole convoluted scheme to basically force to protect his friends on Wall Street and stop Atlantic City from doing a bankruptcy to avoid paying this debt that never should have been incurred in the first place. So we have that going on. I'm just trying to think one more point. Oh, the final point is this, you know, this whole issue of incompetence that, you know, one of the achievements, and I think why the national anthem is so important in the Super Bowl, is because football is a model of what happens when you hire people just for their talent, their achievement, and their work. In other words, who cares whether you have any Asian Americans on a winning Super Bowl team? All you want to do is to make sure that you have the best talent in the country there, regardless of race, or ethnic background. And so the American ideal of we're all created equal, endowed with unalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, equal opportunity, we should sing our national anthem, with pride. And I guess the next thing to say, well, if you really believe diversity, equity, and inclusion is such a great idea, you know, why not start hiring people to professional football and basketball teams that way? Instead of getting the most talented players, you know, make sure you have, you know, if the country is 20% black, have 20% black players, and you'll have 30% white players, and, you know, 5% transgender players. So how come they will not use those standards for professional sports? And the answer is obvious, because if they did, teams that did it would start losing games and you'd see the stupidity right away. But unfortunately, we're choosing airline pilots and railroad engineers and doctors and people who build bridges and all that stuff. We're hiring them based on these artificial diversity standards instead of their talent and their achievement and their dedication to the job. And that's why it's getting dangerous. People are getting killed because of that. And, you know, Tucker Carlson did a tremendous job of just showing how when you get up in a plane, you don't know if the pilot has a history of panic attacks but was hired anyway because they met some sort of gender or a sexual preference or a racial quota. So we have to get back to the American idea of not caring, really what Martin Luther King said, where you couldn't care less about the color of skin, but all that counts is the content of character and talent. So that's what we'll be talking about, libertyandprosperity.com meeting. If you can't get to the meeting, look for us online. All this stuff is posted there.
All right, Seth, thank you. You're a little late. You're a little late, but that's okay. Seth Grossman, Liberty and Prosperity, the website, libertyandprosperity.com. Check it out. And as I said, we'll give away a pair of tickets to Seth's brunch, lunch, next Saturday, featuring Trevor Loudon as the speaker, and it should be a good time. Unfortunately, I can't go because I'm on the air.